Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest says, your God-given genius isn't worth anything unless it's shared. She is a coach to career coaches. She is a producer, director, and actor, and has received film festival awards for the film short, Elevator Lessons. Also, she is a 5-star rated performer of the solo show, Linda Means to Wait. She is the author of the book, Rethink and Grow Fast. She is the woman who transforms the forgotten professional by inspiring them to share their genius to heal others. Let's welcome today's guest, Linda Kurloff. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you so much, Jackie. That was such a nice welcome. I was like, ooh, who did all of that?
I'm so excited to have you here, and I love your message about your God-given talent isn't worth anything unless you share it with others. You got to tell us about that, Linda.
That is something that I think is it's biblical, mm-hmm. that if a seed doesn't fall to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it's if it breaks apart, then it becomes a harvest of righteousness. And what that tells me is that those things that are most valuable, like love, like caring, like ability, like whatever you have that you can offer other people, it's when you let it fall to the ground and splash all over, you know, that it produces something. Mm-hmm. If you just have love in your heart, but you don't act on it or give it away, what does it matter? Yeah. In the same way, your abilities, those God-given abilities, really don't, it's hard to even appreciate them yourself until you pass it on to someone else and see how God uses it to how it flourishes in someone else's life. Yeah. I'm sure you've had the experience where somebody came back to you one time and said, oh, I'll never forget when you told me this, that, and the other thing. Girl, that helped me so much. And you'll be thinking, when did I say that? Wow, that was deep. But you were probably sharing a conviction that you got from the scriptures or some kind of insight from the scriptures. And so those things have just a much bigger life than just being inside of us. They have to be acted out. They have to be lived out.
Yeah, I completely agree. Oftentimes people say, I don't have anything to give. I don't have any talent. You know, the Bible talks about if you're just the doorkeeper, be the best doorkeeper that you can be. You don't have to limit yourself by looking at what others have. And one of the things I have found out for myself is if you use what you already got, God will give you more. It's just like the parable of the talents, even though that talks about money, it's the same concept. You have to invest what you have to grow more.
Oh, yes. I mean, when what you said right there, I feel like that's the whole thing. Whatever it is God has given us, he expects us to multiply it. And you know how the passage that says he who has will be given more, but he who doesn't have, mm-hmm. even what he has will be taken from him. I can remember reading that in the beginning and thinking, man, that's mean. Why are you going to take what he doesn't even have? But then as I've gone along, I realized that scripture is about perception. Mm. It's like he who has will be given more. He who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. The person who has believes that he has. If he's alive, he has something. It might be meager, but he has something. And he appreciates what he has and he uses what he has. But then the person who's always talking about, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, Then once they lose their health, then they realize, man, I used to be healthy. I did have that. Or, you know, lose their life. Then they realize that, I mean, it'll be too late, but, you know, they'll realize that they did have life. And as long as you had life, you had the opportunity to do something with that life. And so I feel like if you think you don't have, you're going to learn that you did have something. Because once it's taken from you, you're going to realize that, wow, I was young and had energy once upon a time, or I had good health once upon a time, or whatever.
How do you keep people motivated to see the positive things, to see the positive side of what they do have?
I feel like it is in the sharing of it. I do think that there's something about using your abilities and seeing it in someone else that makes you appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Like, what's that scripture in Philemon, I think. It says, I pray you may be active in sharing your faith so you may know every good thing you have in Christ. There's something about telling somebody else. You pass it on to somebody else, and then you're like, wow, look at what they did with that. And it motivates you to do that more, so that even if you're afraid or you have some kind of reticence, some resistance, or, you know, whatever, you think more about what the other person needs and you share what you know. And when you see them do something with that, then you realize that it's worth the discomfort of sharing things, of speaking things, because there will also be those people that you share with and they won't do anything with it.
Yeah, but you can't focus on those people. You just have to keep going and fulfilling your purpose. You can't focus on what somebody else is supposed to do. It's all about what are you supposed to do, because God has already given you a specific assignment.
That is so true. I wish I had an amen button here.
We could just say it. Amen.
Amen, child.
But you're right. When I think about, I have a children's ministry, Christian Children's Empowerment, and I think about the writing program that we had. And the writing program just started as a way to give children voice in the Christian world. And I was, at one point, I was contacted by some individuals from Kenya, and we were able to include the orphan boys in our writing program. And one of the things that happened that I was not expecting myself, as they were in the writing program to learn English so they can put themselves in a better economic situation. But what was happening was the boys were taking it back to the village. The things that they were learning, they were taking it back to their village. And one of the boys wrote, Brian, he said, you're not only helping me, but you're helping the whole village. And then it's like, my mind is blown, because it's like, wow, that was not my goal per se. My goal was just to help this individual. But because I shared this with them, and then they went and shared it with someone else, they had an effect on a whole village. And that's powerful.
It's very powerful. And it makes you realize too that, wow, the ability to write is a gift. Yeah. It's like sometimes if you live or grow up somewhere where everybody's literate, everybody's reading and writing, it doesn't occur to you that that's a gift. Mm-hmm. But then you go somewhere where not everybody is literate, or maybe not everybody speaks English, or not everybody can write English. And all of a sudden, this little thing you took for granted, somebody's helping other people communicate or be able to expand their experience. Because In so many places, English, using English is a way to expand your opportunities or increase your ability to reach more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you got to tell people what tools you're using to communicate this message to them. I know you've written a book, but you're also on social media. So tell the people.
I'm on Instagram right now, and I at Linda Kurloff, and I'm also on what's it called? Not Twitter, the other thing, TikTok. I'm on TikTok. And right now I'm sharing tips about job search, about interviewing, because I'm preparing to launch a class about how to find right fit work. Mm-hmm. Because I believe a lot of people work jobs that aren't quite the right fit for them.
Yeah.
So then they end up thinking they don't like their job or they don't like to work. But everybody, I believe, likes to work in a way where they use their signature strengths.
Yes.
Because then you look competent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You feel good because something that is an ability or skill or talent of yours is being used. And when it's not being used, that's dangerous. So I have a list of a free report called 10 Things You Should Stop Doing When Job Searching. Mm-hmm. So that's a free report if anybody wants it. You can find me on Instagram at Linda Kurloff.
You have to give us one or two tips from that report, definitely.
Oh, child. One, I used to work with people to help them find jobs. One of the most important tips when you're job searching is to not set job alerts. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're applying for a job online, usually you go through the whole tedious process of applying. And then something will pop up and say, do you want us to let you know when there are other jobs like this one? Most people will hit the button that says yes. But all that does is create a situation where you're besieged with emails mm-hmm. every single day. And some of these jobs are not like the job that you applied for, but there's some keyword that they shared in common. So it floods your email and it makes the process just more tedious than it needs to be.
Yeah, just unnecessarily tedious. I love
unnecessary.
We really do need to find ourselves using our signature strengths, no matter what your situation is. If you're in church, if you're out on a job, or if you're helping with some type of foundation or any community, because that is where you will truly shine. When you step outside of that, you're going to definitely look incompetent.
Yeah. And then it will erode at your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because you're going to feel like, oh gosh, I'm not good at my job.
I'm a person who likes to build and create things. So these types of things are great for me, but I know that because I've gone on a journey where I wanted to discover the best in me. And mm-hmm. I think each individual has to sit down and examine themselves. What makes you happy? Where is your happy place? Where mm-hmm. is your happy place? Look at that. Where are you smiling the most? Where did you feel the best? And why did you feel the best? Were you doing a particular thing? Was it around a particular person or, you know, within a certain environment?
There are times when I think it's good when someone can remember that, when I was working with my hands, I really felt good and I really enjoyed that, because at least they have that experience.
Yeah. You have to expose yourself. If you're not in an environment where you can receive good exposure, you have to make the effort to be exposed. You know, my mother and my grandmother believed in that concept. When my grandmother is in her 90s, and as you can imagine, during her time, it was limited about what she could do. You know, thankfully, she was able to go into education. She was a teacher for almost 50 years. She said when she started, there was still the little red schoolhouse. And so that fulfilled her. She's a great teacher, but she not only taught in the school system, but she taught in the church. She was a Sunday school teacher, and then she was mm-hmm. Sunday school superintendent. As a matter of fact, many of the women in my family are in some sort of education. My mom did it more so on the collegiate level, but if she was able to grow, maybe, you know, when my grandmother started, she didn't have the opportunity to teach on a collegiate level. But my mom, you know, she had that opportunity because, you know, times were changing. And then she made sure that we had opportunities and we were always able to participate in educational-based programs. So that allowed us to see what else was out there. But you have to make a conscious effort. And I tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, we don't have the money. We don't have, my mom has 7 kids.
Wow.
Every last one of us have some sort of degree.
Wow.
So it is up to you and even the people around to help push you to those places that you really want to go.
And
even as, you know, when I got grown and I was able to see the world in different ways, I realized I had a lot more to still learn. And so I don't limit myself on learning. You know, I don't limit myself on the people that I meet, you know, the environments that I go into, because I need to make those connections. I need to see how it fits and works in my world. And I like to take those things and say, especially since I work with children, and I take those things and I can say, I know about this, and I share that with them. And then that opens up their world. Now, I went into a different field. I started, my field was law. And so funny, my mom always said, you would be a great teacher too. She wanted me to go to law school, you know, because that's what I desire. But I never saw myself in education. But we've just launched Empowerment University for Children. That is one of my projects. It's a spinoff of our ministry work. So, you know, it's so funny. I said, even though that was not my field, how I end up being there, because I want to open up opportunities for children around the world.
Oh, yeah. Exposure is, I mean, it's so important. There was a time I was working with middle schoolers, young people, and middle schoolers through high schoolers. And we had a career readiness program at that time. And so sometimes we would take the kids on a field trip to like an architect's office or somebody's office, and they would get exposed to a day in the life of that kind of work. I had some parents who didn't want to let like a 15-year-old travel on the subway to get to Manhattan to go to this office. And so I would talk to the parent, it was usually a single mom, and say, you know, it would be so valuable if your child could come on this trip. We'll meet her, or somebody can meet her at such and such a stop. You know, I would talk to her about all there was for her to gain mm-hmm. if she learned how to get to Manhattan, which was just, you know, these are boroughs that are close to each other. But if your world can become very small if you don't get exposed to other opportunity.
Yeah.
Just because you're in the Bronx, girl, Manhattan, that's 40 minutes away, not even. But her mom was afraid for her safety, and that fear was keeping her world pretty small.
Yeah, and God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. You have to equip, you use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pray over your children. I just did an interview with someone not long ago who said her mother prayed Psalm 91 over her and taught her how to use Psalm 91. Even when she wasn't saved, she mm-hmm. used Psalm 91 to help protect herself. So you got to open that world up to them. If not, mm-hmm. they may never fulfill their God-given purpose.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, a person's world can become so small if, you know, if you don't help them expand it. Like the fact that your grandmother knew that education was a way to expose her family, her daughter, her all seven of you all, that like let you know, because you probably read and were given different tools to see more than what was just around you, so that you knew that, oh, we have lots of choices. So I appreciate people like that, because my grandmother too, she didn't read. I'm from South Africa originally, but all six of her kids, you know, three of them have PhDs, all of them went to college. And it's sort of like in the United States, it's like, I don't think that people have to be around anybody but God to get the inspiration that there is more out there.
Yeah. And honestly, if you listen to God, if you let the Spirit guide you, He will tell you where to go.
Yeah. When I think of how Jesus, you know, sent the disciples off, you know, two by two, and don't take, you know, and He gave them the challenge of like, find some place to stay. Don't take tunic with you. They took very little with them.
Yeah.
But they had to take their faith and trust in God with them. And then they just went out there. And I feel like that's what your faith is for. It's so you can use it when you go out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times we have such limiting beliefs, but we're the ones that are creating them. It's not God. God wants us to be all that He created us to be. You know, when it talks about in Psalm 139, when we were in our mother's womb, He knitted us together. He knew exactly what our personality would be like. He knew exactly what talents, gifts, and abilities we would have. And now we're supposed to go out there and share it with the world. Just like you said, you know, if you hold back what you have, even if it's just something small, what is the use of having it? Because no one else knows that you have it. And I love, you know, people talking about, you know, dreams that go to the grave. You know, if we're looking for cures for this, and you know, we need certain inventions. And people say, how many of those went to the grave because people never stepped out to dream and to fulfill their purpose?
Yeah, that's a scary thought. You know, when the one talent person tried to return his talent to God.
Yeah.
He said, you wicked, lazy servant, you should have multiplied this. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But it's like, He's not playing with us. We're not supposed to keep these talents to ourselves. We're supposed to build something with it.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, even if you look at something as simple as a pencil, that pencil has a purpose. If the pencil is here and has a purpose, you do too. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to do? You may have to pray about it. You may just have to start working and then let God guide you along the way. But you have something important to do in this world.
Yep. Now, you are dropping all kinds of wisdom there.
No, it's you. I'm feeding off of you. Okay. Give the people the final word. You've dropped so many nuggets in this, but give them the final word that they need to walk away with.
Well, you know, because you started with the final word, I mean, that was my final word. I'm going to use, I think it's Psalm 107. Let me just, Psalm 107 is, I think it was Psalm 107. It's, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And I think it's so important that people tell their story, especially people who have been redeemed. I mean, because a lot of people are going to tell their story anyway. But when you have a story to tell and you've been redeemed, it is a life-giving story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Thank you, Jackie, for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Linda. It's been great. So much that people can learn from you. So much. So thank you again for being a part of this. People, connect with her. She gave you the information. She gave you a word to walk away with. Utilize it in your life. It is important. Absolutely important. And thank you again for joining us for another episode of CWS. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Jackie.